the Leafs are red hot. And it sounds like Matthews is going to return tomorrow night. He's back on the ice today with Thornton and with Marner. I guess that answers the question, would he go back with Mitch Marner? It appears to be the case.
Dude, that's icing on top, man. That's icing on top when you're rolling like this and all of a sudden the big boy's back and it's like, okay, let's go on a complete heater right now. Not that we're already not. It's just, it's tough in pro sports to really take time to sit back and enjoy the present because there's always a losing streak around the corner. There's always a bad injury to an important player around the corner. But when things are cooking, man, sometimes, as us anyway, we can sit back and enjoy it. And I had people say to me all the time, they're like, I just can't enjoy this because I know blah, blah, blah. It's the Leafs.
It's a house of cards, and it's going to fall apart.
And I said, you know what? You can do whatever you want. I really don't care. I don't know you. It's your life. But what I will say is, why not enjoy this? Why not celebrate how good they are? And what they have, it's just like a coach for big games, like gold medal games in the junior Stanley Cup games. A coach will always say, what this is an excellent opportunity for these players to go out there and play well, to win a gold medal, to win a Stanley Cup. And at the end of the day, that's what the Leafs are going to have. They've always put themselves in a position to be in the playoffs, and this is going to be another excellent opportunity instead of just an opportunity to do some damage and go on a run. So that's what they got. Have fun with it. If you want to just be negative about it and say, I've been let down so many times in the past, if you want to take that approach, go ahead.
But that's
who the hell needs that?
But that's not them. Like
that's
right.
It's not
their
fault. It's not Austin Matthews' fault.
No, but what I'm saying, though, is that's the fans talking. They're not sitting there in the dressing room going, nah, you know what? Like, Austin Matthews is not going, this is my fifth year. Like, I better. Like, what he's doing is, sounds to me, again, I'm not privy to behind the scenes, sounds to me like those guys are enjoying the process, enjoying the ride. Like, they don't look super stressed. They look very confident. Like, it's so different in the room and in an organization than the, they call it the white noise outside. The white noise is for the people that enjoy that. You know, if you're a fan of the team, great. You know, ride the highs, ride the lows. But the guys in the room, oh, you know, I mean, you guys have talked about it. Like, they lock that stuff out. Yes, they're privy to Twitter and Instagram, and they watch TSN and everything else. But they also just go and play. I think they're having a ball.
Well,
they
should.
I personally do.
They should. They're winning a ton of games. I mean, they're first overall in the league. If you're not going to enjoy that, what are you playing for? But I'm sure they would also tell you in a candid moment, they understand the journey, and it's about an end goal here. It's not about winning in March. It's about putting yourself in a position to win come playoff time. But I can speak as a fan and someone that's been a part of this roller coaster. I noticed the difference in approach and difference in mentality in the third period last night. You referenced it earlier. Oh, in years past, up 3-0.
Watch this.
With Hutchinson and Nett going up against that team with McDavid and Draisaitl, I'd say they maybe need to hold on for a point here.
Dude,
honestly,
it would be a gif every time. It was a gif. Hold my beer.
And there would be times in the past, not long ago, where if you propositioned me in the second intermission, I'll give you a point. Do you want to take it? I'd say I'll take it. I like bargaining on the couch, saying I'll take the point because I don't know what's going to happen in the third. At no point did I feel like last night was going to get away from them. At no point. And that is a testament to what they built and the way they're playing right now. And they deserve that credit. As we said last hour, when they play poorly, we're the first ones to mention that and to talk about it and deal with that reality. When they're playing well, and this is the best they've played in a long time, it's going to be a tire pumping session. And it should be, just like it should be in Boston, and it should be in Florida, and it should be in Vegas, and you know that's what comes with the territory when you put yourself in a position like the one the Leafs currently find themselves in, and they have put themselves in that spot, regardless of the hurdles they've had to deal with, and they've had to deal with a fair amount. Joining us now, the Maple Toyota Hotline. Here is our TSN hockey analyst Ray Ferraro. Pretty impressive again, Ray. It felt a lot like what we saw over the weekend. Just the Leafs kind of quick lead and never really felt uncomfortable. They just continued to cruise through 60 minutes and pick up 2 points.
The only worry I had watching that was at some point McDavid was going to shake loose, just like out of nothing. and just like make some incredible rush, which he made a couple of them, but and get them on the board. And maybe they get rattled just a little bit because they just mowed them down. That's two games in a row. But this has been going on for a long time. Like outside of that, I don't know, whatever you call it, against Ottawa, when they blew the big lead, like there hasn't been many times where they white knuckle things. Like they've been really good. I think it's like I said last night, I think it's maybe time to acknowledge that this system and the way that they're playing it is like it's effective. It's not a fluke. It's longer term effective. Like that means they don't have to score five goals a game. They play like that.
You think they're the best team in the league right now, Ray, or does that still go to Tampa?
Oh, well, I don't know. Oh, I have a hard time making a comparison because they never play the same teams. You can't even compare them.
Yeah.
Oh, they both played Boston last week or something. It's really hard to tell.
There's no barometer game.
It's frustrating. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how you guys feel. Like, I love it, but I also would like to see just one or two crossover games just to kind of wet your whistle a little bit, just to see a little different look.
It's like an interleague play.
Can we
play a team from the National League here? Just give me a weekend to see what the Dodgers are all about.
Right.
You know? I got to be honest with you because I'm getting a little tired of watching the same seven teams.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys are or not or if you still think it's awesome, but for me, I'm like,
I don't.
Oh, man, three games in a row against the same guys. Poof. You know, well, uncle.
And you have to wonder how the players feel, too. Like, they treat it like, I did the Calgary-Ottawa game last night, and they said, you know, they're treating game three like, you know, well, we split the first two. Let's see how the third one looks. They're treating it like little mini-series. But, you know, when it's regular season, there's no fans, and you're playing, you know, you're basically in your hotel room and the rink. Like, it's tough. I feel for the guys. I think it's tough for them to get up for every moment, everything. That's why it's been great for how the Leafs have played, because they've been quite consistent, where you've seen a lot of inconsistency from other teams in the league where they go on a nice run and then they, you know, they take a dump for a week because they just don't look good and they don't look motivated. That hasn't been the case with Toronto.
No, Noodles, you said you did that game last night.
Yeah.
What in the hell was going on in warm-up?
Yeah, that
those
was
guys.
Wild.
They looked like a beer league team out there.
And then they
there
played
guys,
like it.
They were
falling down, hit. Like, who hit Monahan in the head? He shot it from the blue line.
Johnny Gaudreau backhand saucered it as he was skating off the ice, and Monahan skated into it, and it hit him in the nose and the orbital area. I thought he wasn't going to play. He came out late to the bench. Like, he came out after the anthem. But you're right. Like, Hayes, you just said it. They were, I don't know, is that somebody's chair?
Yeah, that was a chair.
That'll be reviewed later. We'll review that later.
It'll be reviewed later.
I can take a picture. I'm standing right by my chair. I had to move it.
Okay. Anyways, it started off with Anderson and I think Valimaki ran into each other. Milan Lucic fell down and went headfirst into the boards.
Gio was staring at everyone. Gio's just like, what are you doing out here?
Like, it was a gong show, and then I think there was a defenseman that ran into the goaltender on the way off, too. Like, it was Keystone Cops, and then they came out and played like it, too. And, man, Ottawa...
How many times this
deserves
year
a lot of credit.
Say, yeah.
I will say this, though.
Yeah, Ottawa, full credit to them. They're playing well. They're a couple of players stepping up. Batherson's playing really well.
How many times are we going to deal with Calgary, though, and say, man, they're not ready to start their intensity? Like, that's probably the fifth time this year where they've said, man, just not ready, not good enough, blah, blah, blah. Usually those coming to Jesus meetings, they're not every three games. And they're already at that point.
No, you're right.
And so now, of course, the focus drops, you know, right to the coach, right, onto Jeff Ward. But, man, that group's been together a long time. Mm-hmm. Like, the big chunk of it there. Like, they got to take some responsibility for driving the bus here.
Agreed.
You know, like right from, you know, of course it's Gaudreau and Monahan and Giordano, but it's Michael Backlund too. He's been there 700 plus games.
Well,
they look like, I don't know, they look like every second game they look like they're just out there skating around.
It wasn't exactly smooth sailing last year either, right? Like, they were not that good.
Something like I look at their roster and I look at their lines and I'm like, man, they should be better. I think they should be better. But they don't seem to play with any real emotion to their game. Like, they don't, there's no relentlessness. There's only a couple of guys I look at and I'm like, man, their legs are going all the time. There's not very many of them. And I'm really surprised because I had picked Calgary as, you know, as the third best team. Of course, I had Montreal second, but then they haven't been any good either. So, but I'm really surprised. Like, I thought after they played their last game there where they came out and they just really handed it to Ottawa pretty good, I thought they were, okay, it looks like they're going to, you know, they're going to be engaged here. And then they came out and, you know, they couldn't even get out of the warm-up, you know. Like,
no, quite literally, the warm-up was the end of the game. Like, it was a precursor to what was about to develop. And you mentioned Montreal, and they're playing Ottawa tonight.
Yeah.
And they go with Carey Price, which I do think is the right move. I think you got to try to trigger them. You got to get them going. Yep. You don't want to feed the mob and play Jake Allen. And everyone's doing the comparisons right now anyway. Jake Allen stats compared to Carey stats and Price's first seven starts, his second seven starts. He's your guy, right? Like, he has to be your guy. And I think it's the right move. And I got to believe Montreal is inspired tonight. You know, Ottawa's been playing better, but coming off a back-to-back, they're still not an overly talented team. That hasn't changed. This should be a win tonight.
Well, it has to be.
It has to be a win tonight. It has to be a win tonight if you're Montreal. Like, you got to get going here.
Guys, they were awesome on Saturday.
Yeah, I thought they were too.
Man, didn't you? Like, they just carried. They had the whole game in their hand. It's 1-1. And, you know, they outshoot them. I think it was 41-18. And then everybody gets all tied up. And we all talk about that they started a checking group, more or less. And the game's over. And that became the focal point. They forgot about the previous 2.5 hours. Like, so, you know, at the end of a losing streak, maybe you lose when you should win. I guess that's the old adage. They should have won on Saturday. They didn't. And so now they've got to, you know, it's like half the win night, as you guys said. Like, they've got to win tonight. And it kind of seems like they're going to play well. They might not. I guess it's like anything. They might not, but seems like it to me that they'll play well tonight.
I have this, like, nervous energy to watch Carey Price. I know, and Jamie, you could comment on him doing extra work. I honestly know, yeah. I obviously know that that's to sharpen up. But you talk about a guy that's under the spotlight to get the job done in net. I'm excited and kind of a little bit nervous and anxious to watch Carey Price tonight, Ray.
I often wonder, like, all that extra work that you guys do, Noodles, like, is it, when you put the work in, is it so you can slow down, so you can relax, so you can just play? Like, that's what I always hoped would happen when I went and shot 1,000, or, you know, a couple hundred pucks after practice. Is like, I just hope that the puck feels good on my stick when the game starts. Is that what he's doing?
I think
because
a lot of it.
I'm with you. I'm waiting for him to play great.
It's muscle memory. So, like, I had the bad analogy, the golf analogy last week. Like, he makes all these great saves, and then he allows a muffin. And that's the muscle memory is all of a sudden the mind turns on and it controls the body. You just got to go out and play. And it's easier said than done. But, like, I'm looking for a couple things I had written down because I got to talk about them later. Like, comfort, consistency in the game. We even saw it against the Leafs. He'd make these amazing saves on the power play through a seam back door, and then it's like a straight shot from the blue line, and you got to have that. You're like, okay, well, where's the consistency in the game? And then, so I wrote down no muffins, and ultimately, you got to win. Like, you can't, the moral victories, this isn't the moral victory league. I know people want to, you know, have all of that. And, Ray, we just talked about it. They deserved to win on Saturday against Winnipeg. They were the better team. They didn't. Hellebuck was fantastic. That's why Hellebuck won the Vezina last year. You know, and Winnipeg found a way to do it. That's the type of stuff. But when you do extra work, it's like anything. It's just you're putting – it almost helps you mentally going, okay, I put the work in. Well, let's see the results now.
Because it does – it all – I read that stuff, Noodles, and I'm like – I almost kind of half giggle about how you guys are in your own world. So,
right.
You know, you're struggling away, and they're like, okay, let's go over to the practice ice. And so he gets to go over there, and I'm struggling away. I can't complete a 10-foot pass, and now I just lose my place in drill. It's just fall to the back of the line.
Right. Or the coach whistles it down and you have to bag skate because you guys can't make a pass.
Start again. You guys can't even make a play.
Right.
And then, you know, and the goalie goes over there and rightfully so, they've got get your own position coach, someone that knows what the hell they're talking about. And you go through this stuff where, and in Montreal, in that practice facility, I guess there's nobody there anyway, but most of the, you can't even see the other rink. Yeah. They go over to that other rink and, might as well be on the moon.
I want to add one last thing to that. As a goalie in practice, a lot of times you don't get quality shots out of it because if you're doing 3-on-0s or, two-on-1s and, guys are force-feeding passes, a lot of times it's not realistic plays for a game. So that's why I think a lot of times the goalie coach goes, okay, take some line rushes with the team and then go work on some specialized stuff. That's kind of what I sense. And it's better now. All the teams have three goalies. So one guy can go to another
ice
surface and work on it. Frederik Andersen's getting work.
Should. Yeah, I mean, we talk about the preferential treatment that some athletes get in different sports, which is natural. You know it.
Right.
There may not be a bigger disparity than the goaltending position. And you could speak to this from your own experience throughout your career, Noodles. Like the starter, when he wants to leave, he leaves. When he wants to work on something else, he works on something else.
Yeah.
He's not sticking around after practice so the guys can work on one-timers.
No.
But the backup is. And the third stringer definitely is. You're not going anywhere. You're not allowed. No. You have to stick around. But the starter, gone. Massage table.
We're in Hartford, and Mike Liutz, our goalie, and, he was older than all of us, and we were working on some drill that, of course, let the forward shoot the puck from 15 feet dead center, and he just skated out of the net, and he's like, we're done with this drill. We're like, what do you mean? Like, there's no goalie. He's like, no, we're not doing this anymore. This is stupid. And so we changed the drill. And we're
Come on, give me a couple of one-timers here.
Thing is, the backup would never do that. I tried changing sides on a drill one time, and Chaser skated by and punched me in the back of the head in Anaheim in a morning skate. I'll never forget it.
The best was Tom Barrasso. If an assistant coach took a shot at him during the warm-up where everyone's skating around, he would skate out of the net and yell, NHL players only! I've never in my life seen
how demoralizing.
Oh my God. He would skate out straight leg and say, NHL players only, shoot on me, and then he was a skater. I was like, oh my God.
That is the funniest thing ever.
The assistant coach would just be horrified. The first time I saw it, and he had a temper on that guy. I used to do this drill where I would throw my tape back to the tape rack, like there was a shelf underneath the chalkboard, and the tape one time got caught on my finger, and I flicked it, and it hit Tom Barrasso right between the eyes. And he stood up, and he had his goalie stick, like he was going to swing it and chop someone's head off, and he said, who was it? I want to know who did that. And I, like a school kid, I put my arm up, I go, Tommy, it was me. He goes, you're lucky I like you. And he sat back down, and I just was like, oh, my God.
So
you're different than me. Oh, I would have been down tying my skates.
Yeah. The old Lloyd Christmas. It was Harry Dunn that threw the pepper shaker, not me. It's the last thing you need. Those are old school stories. They still probably apply today. But we were going to get into the Shaquille O'Neal comment, and I think it applies to the chats that we have on a daily basis here, Ray. And you're in a similar spot to Shaq. I mean, you played for a long, long time, past generation. Now you're a prominent voice in the hockey world. And Shaq has been really critical of players to the point where it gets awkward a little bit. Like, he told Donovan Mitchell to his face, well, I guess he was in studio, but Donovan was on the court, like, hey, I just want to give you a heads up. I don't think you can get to the next level. Like, something along those lines. Like, it was really awkward.
Just being a you-know-what.
Yeah, it was totally uncalled for. And Shaq's explanation was, or his defense is, I'm blunt, I'm honest, and this is what past players used to say to me, so they have to deal with it. And he's continuing to make that push, and he's saying that current players are just soft and they can't take critiques. And I personally think that's inaccurate. I think going over the top and blasting at a guy on national TV in front of millions is different than Kareem Abdul-Jabbar pulling Shaq aside 20 years ago at Staples Center. And I also think social media has changed everything compared to when you guys played. You know, like you pick up the paper, you might throw on sports radio, maybe you watch Sports Center, but now if you're on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, you're going to find negative commentary. Doesn't matter who you are. LeBron James takes heat every day. LeBron takes heat. It's just a different world right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think a long time ago I tried to, you know, identify what I'm trying to do to, like, to myself anyway, like, so at least I got a goal when I'm doing the games. And I felt like the people that are watching, for the most part, they've got a pretty good idea what's going on. They understand the game. They're watching it. They like it. If I'm trying to put a blanket over top of every mistake and, oh, gee, that was a good try, and they're going to think that I'm full of crap. So I try to be as honest as I can about what's going on, but I don't, like, honestly, I don't ever forget that how hard the game is. Like, it's hard. Like, and I don't think people understand sometimes how fast it is and how quickly things happen and how easily it is to get in the wrong place or to make the wrong play. So I think I'm honest and fair, but I just don't find that okay. You're not going to get to the next level.
Right, that's just like, and especially,
like, I don't like that. I don't.
Over the
that
top.
Wouldn't be
it's
bad.
Over the top, and yeah. I guess to be somewhat fair for context, what Shaq was saying was this is what he had said earlier in the show, and he felt that he should tell Donovan that, hey, this is how I feel. It just was unnecessary at that point.
Yeah.
And you know, Donovan Mitchell's a young guy in the league who's a really good player on arguably the best team in the league. He doesn't need to hear that. From Shaq.
Well, you could say something to Shaq could basically say whatever the hell he wants. But if it's me, I'd say if this guy doesn't take it more seriously, if it was a weight problem or something like that, Hayes, if this guy doesn't lose 20 pounds, there's a good chance he doesn't get to the next level. But just to flat out say to a guy you're not getting to the next level, I just think it's a dick comment.
Yeah, it's totally uncalled for. It's totally over the top. And again, comparing, I think, athletes today and the criticism that they face to 20 or 30 years ago is totally unbalanced. I mean, social media has changed the world, and criticism comes at you from everywhere.
Dude,
now.
Every star player, every time they step on the field, the court, or the ice, every shift is basically on Twitter. Everything.
Yep.
Everything, dude.
Instagram, your whole life. And you can't escape anymore.
No.
Like,
no.
20 years ago, you'd be like, it's the off season. I'm going to Europe. No one knows who I am over there, and you can leave me alone. You can't do that in today's world. No escape, ever, for celebrities.
Well, I think a lot of the context, or a lot of the criticism, rather, is out of context. Like, I don't think a lot of people understand, like, really understand what it's like to play at this level. Like, how could you? It would be like me telling a doctor how to run his office or a mechanic how to fix a car.
Right.
How would I know? Yet, because of the access everybody has to putting their opinions out there, you can just shred somebody with no repercussion.
Right.
And it's a way harder game than it looks. The game that you're watching on TV is not the game that you played in junior. It's not the game you played in high school. I played in the Little League World Series. I'm almost certain that is not the same game as I'm watching on TV. It's baseball, but it's not the same.
Right.
And yet there are people that believe because they've played at a certain level that they get it, they understand it, they know it, they know exactly what that player is thinking. I don't know how you know what a player's thinking. I can imagine what he is thinking because I was there, but how do you know? Like, Noodles, you might be able to say, man, I think that goalie was looking for the pass there, but maybe he wasn't. You're not standing in the net. He might have seen something else. So you can only talk about your experience of giving up that goal or making that save, of being in that position.
Right.
Like, that's all we can do. You can't speak with any, you know, this is garbage and that player is, you know, is no good and he should not be out on this spot. Like, how can you speak so definitively when most of us have made every mistake that we're seeing on TV. Yeah.
There's a way of saying there's a good player that made a bad decision and a bad play.
Sure.
Right.
Yep. Yep.
Honesty with respect. That's the way I live it. I live by it. Honesty with respect. And to your point, Brian, it's just the noise is louder and more instantaneous because of social media. Now, I will say this to defend the other side. Like, guys are being paid very handsomely, and I know money isn't the end all be all, but you know it comes with the job. Like, nowadays, job requisition to play in the National Hockey League or basketball or football, like, there is a lot of different types of pressures that are there compared to when all of us were playing junior or pro hockey.
Exactly. Like, the game is still the game.
Right.
Right. It's and Shaq can speak to that. You guys can speak to that. But Shaq can't, what I'm saying is, Shaq can't use his life in 2000 and apply it to Kevin Durant's life in 2021 or Donovan Mitchell, because the world has changed so much.
Right.
With social media and with sports media being 24/7. And it's a different world right now. We'll see. Tomorrow night we got another Leafs Oilers game. There you go, buddy. A three pack of games. And
Maybe the Oilers are looking to get on the board.
Yeah, looking to get on the board. Just get a goal.
How about that? Shutouts and back to back games. Neither of them are Freddie.
Crazy.
Who is Wall going to play tomorrow? Like, they might as well.
They might as well throw something at it. Yeah, try something different. Go for the hat trick of goalies.
Is Freddie even close? Like, I thought I just read, like, he had a positive day. Is that it? Like,
That's what they said yesterday, too, or the day before. I think he's moving in the tour. I could see him playing Saturday in Vancouver. I could see that. Okay. I don't think he'll play the back-to-back. Like, they play tomorrow, Thursday.
Right.
You know, I would, although Campbell appears to have tweaked something, so do you go with Hutchinson in a back-to-back? Maybe Wall will play. You know, on Thursday in Vancouver.
Was it 20 years ago that Michael Hutchinson couldn't stop a thing, or was it last year?
Well, last year,
10 days ago.
He's a guy who's actually won a playoff game in the last year.
Remember last year when they dump him in there for the second game of back to backs, and it started to look like, oh, they're going to lose. You know, they don't have a chance to win tonight, and they didn't. And then off he went, and then now he looks, I don't know, he looks completely different.
Well, that's when Freddie Frances didn't have a blocker, and he used a mitten.
That's right. That's another one of your guys, Freddie Frances. I forgot that.
Once again, we're all respectful, and guys just don't.
Yeah, exactly. We're just a bunch of good guys here. We'll see. We'll see what happens tomorrow night. We'll do it again tomorrow at 5.
See you, boys.
There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. They are giving you a break this March with rates from 0% and up to $3,000 back on in-stock 2020 Highlander hybrids. Visit MapleToyota.com. Quick Leaf update here. Mark Masters tweeting out, Matthews skated today on a regular line, hoping to play tomorrow night. Anderson had a positive day, may return tomorrow night. So maybe he will go for the next two nights. Campbell practice today, won't dress tomorrow, which means he won't play tomorrow, likely won't play Thursday in Vancouver. And Nylander just had a maintenance day dealing with a nagging issue, but will likely play tomorrow night. So, listen, they're
a lot of updates.
They're the walking wounded out there, but they're picking up wins, and that's all that matters right now.